John chapter 1, in verse number 1, the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, that's a name of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we see that he was there in the beginning, amen? "The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3, "All things were made by him." And so he was there at the creation, wasn't he? "And without him was not anything made that was made." If it's been created, Jesus Christ was involved with it. Verse 4, this is our focus for this morning. "In him was life." Okay, he's there at the beginning. He is the Word. He's with God. He was at the creation. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." All right, verse number 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for the provision that you've made for us in every way, Father. Not only the things of life and those things that we need for our sustenance and clothing and shelter and protection and blessing, Lord, the country that you've blessed us with, Lord, we thank you for each of those things. And Lord, we thank you that you've made provision for us in your church. And Lord, in saving us and calling us by the Lord Jesus Christ, saving our souls, putting us in your church, you've made a day, Father, that we can come and meet together with your people, your church, to worship you. Thank you for that, a great provision and blessing that you've ordained from on high. We thank you, Father, for your word and the truth of it and how you bless us and speak to us through it. And we pray, Father, you'd help us that today we would worship you. And Lord, we lift up your name and praise your name in all things. Lord, as we look into your word and already have, as the brethren have prayed, as we've sang praises to your name, Lord, that in all these things we would worship and praise and uplift your name. And Lord, we know in doing so, indeed, we will receive a blessing by praising you and worshiping you this day. Help us and speak to us through your word. We desire to hear from you. And Lord, take me out of the way and just use me as you would be pleased. And Lord, help us to hear great and wonderful words from you. We pray for those that are here and not saved, Father, that you'd speak to them. And Lord, that you'd visit them. Lord, you'd convict them. Lord, you'd show them their great need. Father, that they might see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and that they might see in him the light. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, verse number 4 says, "In him," we know it's Jesus, the Word, later on in this chapter called the light, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Okay, we want to concentrate on that and take a look at it from this aspect. Mark chapter 5. Things that you know, I trust you know these things and remember these things in the scripture. We'll review them, and we want to take these passages and aim them at that verse. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In Mark chapter 5, in verse number 21, we pick it up. The scripture says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." Verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands upon her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." This man comes, Jairus. His daughter is deathly ill. He comes to the Lord Jesus when he arrives back here at Caesarea, and he says, "I've got to have you come and do something for my daughter." And so then we know about the woman with the issue of blood as they went on the way. We'll not take a look at that this morning. Verse 35, "While he yet spake regarding this woman, that had touched the hem of his garment and was healed. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, the girl's father, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly, because the girl had died. They're lamenting over her. They're crying over her. They're weeping over her. They are looking toward preparing to bury her because she has died. And when he was come in, verse 39, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep?" This is what Jesus says. The little girl is dead. But Jesus says, "Why are you making all this ado? Why are you weeping?" Did he say that with a smile on his face even? I don't know. But he says, "Why you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." But they said she was dead. Well, she was dead. But to Jesus, death is sleep. Hear that? Now, to sleep to us, if you're asleep, I can come over there and shake you. If I'm asleep, you can come over and kick me. And we'll wake up, right? But when men, women, boys, and girls die, even yet to the Lord, it is only sleep. That's it. When we're talking about his power, his ability, it's only sleep. "Why make ye this ado and sleep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. Why? I mean, they went from weeping and wailing and carrying on, and they ridicule the Lord, laughed him to scorn. "You are lunatic. You are nuts. She's dead." But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Took her by the hand and says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Is she sleeping? Well, to us, she's dead. Heart's not beating. Blood's not moving. But to the Lord, he says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked. And for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Why? She was dead. But the Lord said, "I say unto thee, damsel, arise. Get up." And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Don't tell anybody. He tells that to his parents. He tells that to her parents. Don't tell anybody, and give her something to eat. She's hungry. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Did the Lord Jesus Christ exhibit life that day? He sure did, didn't he? Young girl, just died. No issue for the Lord. Young girl, just died. No issue for the Lord. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We pick it up in verse number 11. "And it came to pass the day after that he," that is Jesus, went into a city called Nain. "And many of his disciples went with him, and much people." So the Lord's going into Nain. He's going into Nain. I failed to look that up of the geography part of that to find out where that exactly is. But I encourage you to do that just so you know where that is. "And many of his disciples went with him, and much people." So there's disciples and other folks with him. "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city," so he's going into the entrance of the city, "behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, for she was a widow." So they're carrying this man out of the city. Jesus is going in, meets him at the gate of the city. They're carrying this dead man out, and he was the only son of this woman whose husband, his father, we presume, was dead. They're carrying this man out. He's been dead a while, hadn't he? He could have died that morning. Maybe the day before. In this day, they did have to bury people quickly. Not like it is in our day. Death has been made very, I was going to say pretty, but death has really been made, it's really been kind of dulled, if you will, in our day. The mortician has a job and is able by technology and such to make death not appear as bad as it is for the physical body. But they had to bury this man. He'd been prepared for burial, no doubt. And they were carrying him out of the city, and the Lord meets him. Dead man carried out, verse number 12, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. I love that, don't you? The Lord is compassionate. He is compassionate to sinners. One day the compassion is going to be over, though. But he's compassionate now. He's compassionate then. And he has compassion on her and saith unto her, weep not. What do you mean? My son is dead. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. They're coming out of the city. I'm going to take him out there to the cemetery. And he touches the bier, and they stop. Young man, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. What is this man to you and me? He's dead. What is this man to the Lord Jesus Christ? Asleep. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. Can you see that? Sat up on the bier. These men are holding him. Sits up on that thing. And what? Begins to speak. He doesn't try to shake death off of him, does he? They that bare him stood still. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. You reckon they kind of dropped the bier there down on the ground, or the Lord Jesus Christ grabbed a hold of him by the hand, said, hop on down here. And what's the Lord Jesus Christ says? Here you go. Here's your son. Isn't that good? And there came a fear on all, and well it should be. You that are here without Christ, a fear should come upon you because of this. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And that's what it's a testimony to. It is indeed that. The one that has life has visited mankind. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. A man, that's what it says, not been dead for a few moments or a few hours, but a man dead maybe the biggest part of a day, the day before possibly. To me and you, he is dead. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is asleep. And it's no problem for the Lord, is it? No problem at all. Did the Lord agonize over this? The Lord commanded this man to rise up. And what did he do? He did. Amen. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You know this account. John chapter 11. Here in this chapter, we have the account of Lazarus and his two sisters whom the Lord loved and had fellowship with, whom the Lord had saved. And we know the Lord deals with his disciples in this. I mean, that's the way the Lord is. He's dealing with a number of people all at the same time. You find that over and over in the scriptures. And in verse number 4, let's just read the words of the Lord as we walk down through this passage. Verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's the sickness of Lazarus. He got word that he was sick. Verse number 7. Then after that he saith unto the disciples, let us go into Judea again. Some days later, 2 days, right? Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, He stumbleth because there's no light in him. He said, don't you know they want to kill you down there? He said, it's time to go. Verse 11, these things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. The disciples say, well, if he's sleeping and he's resting, he does good. Verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. To you he's dead. To me he's asleep. Verse 15, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? The faith, confidence in the Lord, trust in the Lord would be increased. Amen. I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And so we know the account. They go down there. Verse 17 says he's been in the grave 4 days already. He comes and Martha meets him outside of town. And in verse number 23, he says, thy brother shall rise again. And she says, I know the resurrection is so, Lord. Jesus saith unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, you're here. If you're here and saved, you know that that's the case. But I tell you what, we need to get a hold of that even more. Jesus is the resurrection. It's him. I am the resurrection. Listen, and the life. I am the life. He that believeth in me, listen to this, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. He speaks this to Martha. Verse number 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Mary goes and, or Martha goes and calls for Mary. And she comes out to him and they talk and different ones follow along there. Mary says unto the Lord in verse 32, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus in verse 34 says, where have you laid him? And then the people kind of quarrel and marvel about the Lord a little bit there. I believe the Lord groaning and weeping because of the disbelief of folks. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. They said, he's been dead 4 days. Surely by now it's rank in there. Surely by now he stinketh. Surely by now he stinketh. Jesus said unto her, verse number 40, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? They took away the stone. Jesus says in verse 41, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. What I'm going to do is going to be done. So that they may believe. Isn't that what the Lord told the disciples? They are already saved. But he says in verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Back in verse 42, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people that would stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And with thus spoken, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth, didn't he? And I love this. The Lord says to him, loose him and let him go. Lazarus has been dead four days. By that time, their expectation is that his body would be decaying and would stink. What is Lazarus to you and me? He's dead, and he's dead all over, isn't he? And I'm not to be... disrespectful or anything, but that's just the truth. He's dead. They've wrapped him up. They've put him in the tomb. But what is he to Jesus? Asleep. Because, what's it say in 1 John 4? In him was life. You know what? It can't be. It's impossible for anything but life to come forth of Jesus Christ. You understand that? By virtue of his power and his virtue and who he is, he is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Matthew chapter 27, we see the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we know the mock trial, the betrayal in Gethsemane, the mock trial is standing before Pilate, is standing before Herod. And in chapter 27, in verse number 35 of Matthew, we pick it up here, and the scripture says plainly, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Old Testament prophets had prophesied over and over and over and over again of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death of the Savior, the death of the Redeemer, the death of the Messiah. And it happened, didn't it? In verse number 50, the scripture says, "When Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Now, this is the only gospel that renders it this way, but I like that because it does tell indeed, not like a man that gives up the ghost when death comes and he dies. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's no discharge in that war. When death comes, you and I are subject to it. We can't fight against it. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, he could keep that life and keep his spirit, his soul in that body as long as he wanted to. Because see, death has no power over him. If any power that death, and I know that this can be argued, but death only being able to have power over the Lord was only at his will. Understand that? When he wanted death to have power over him, then death could. And he did that not for himself, but for us. Amen. But he yielded up the ghost. He let it go, didn't he? He decided when it was time to die, unlike us. Verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the rocks, the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Brother Stephen spoke about that some this morning. There, it tells us that the veil being rent from top to bottom there in the Holy of Holies, Judaism's out of business. Okay? That's just an aside. And so the Lord dies. Verse 54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus and saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, and well they should, saying, truly this was the Son of God." That's something you can learn from the centurion. He was there. He's a witness to it. "And many of the women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children." Verse 57. "And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea called Joseph, named Joseph, who was also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." The Lord Jesus Christ is dead. And he is wrapped up and he is in the tomb. And we know the scripture bears out that he laid there 3 days and three nights, just like it was with Jonah in the whale's belly, right? In Mark chapter 16, what is Jesus to us as mortals? Where we've left him, where we've left him so far in the scripture, where is it that Jesus is to us? He's dead, isn't he? There's not a thing that men can do for the Lord. But in Mark chapter 16, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. The Lord Jesus Christ in that tomb, having given up the ghost and yielded up the ghost on the cross of Calvary, and being laid in that tomb by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, to you and me, he's dead. But to him, even though he's dead, it's sleep. You hear that? His body is dead, but yet he lives. Isn't that what he taught? And we'll look at that again, what he told Martha there. And it goes on to say in verse number 6, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. When he is risen, he arose. Himself. Him. He arose. You hear that? He is risen. He is risen. He arose himself. But go your way, verse 7, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. He has said that this would be the case before. Turn over here to chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse number 28. Listen to what he says. But after I am risen, he is going to raise. He is going to be risen from the dead. After I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. The angel reminds them, he's risen, like he told you. And he's going to meet you in Galilee, like he told you. Back in chapter 16, but go your way, verse 7, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any, for they were afraid. Why? Because dead people to mortal men are dead and they stay dead. But not with Jesus Christ. What's it say in John 1:4? In him was life. Life. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. That's what the scripture testifies, that he raised from the dead. In John chapter 10, we see here the Lord, more things that he said in this wonderful dissertation about how he is the shepherd. And a nugget that's here in chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse number 17. Listen to what it says in John 10, 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. In him was life. Amen. Amen. In him was life. In him is life. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Listen to this. No man taketh it from me. Not Pilate, not a flood of centurions and their regiments, not Herod and his crowd, not Satan, not sin, not death itself. I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. My Father has said, me and my mortal body, this is the way it's going to be. I've got the power of life, even for me. Wow. Isn't that great? In John, that's the reason in Matthew 27:50, where we pointed out, he yielded up the ghost. He let his spirit go. He let his soul go from that body when he wanted to, when it was finished, when all those things were fulfilled. John 5, look over here. We just put these little nuggets together in this. And oh, may we see that the Son is life. In him is life indeed. John 5, verse number 21. For the Father, the Lord's going to speak to them about judgment, but this needs to be settled. Verse 21 of John 5, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will, even including himself. Hear that? Not just with you and me, which he has done in salvation and will do at the resurrection, but even himself when his body's dead. He's got the power to raise it back up, and he did. In him was life, is life. See, artificial intelligence is pursued by men. The technology and the medical field, they're working. They're working to try to be able to regrow flesh and be able to make prosthesis that men, women, boys, and girls can gain back the use of different limbs and even sight and such as that they can gain that back. But man can't create life. We've been given a lot of things that we can do, but we can't create life. But the Lord's created life. He was at the creation. And he is life. He is life. And if an example of power in the world, not nuclear power and nuclear bombs and the power that's generated to power our world today and all the accomplishments that man technology-wise has been able to accomplish, those are great exhibitions of power and ability. But you know what? No one has exhibited the power of bringing a dead person back to life. But that would be an exhibition of power, wouldn't it? That one that could do so would exhibit power greatly. That's the reason the man of sin and the false prophet and all that are going to put on a show that they can do so, it seems like. But greater power than that would be, wouldn't it be? It'd be great power if one could bring one back from the dead. Another. We've seen three cases where Lord Jesus Christ did that. But a greater exhibition of power would be that they could bring themselves back from the dead. Amen? Amen. And that's exactly what our Savior has done. He brought himself back from the dead. As he said in John 11, we're close, turn over there. As he said to Martha in John 11, verse number 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection, I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, in him is life. You are dead in every way, and you're heading for the death of your body. And in the condition that you're in, you're heading for eternal death and hell in the lake of fire. I tell you what, look to the Lamb of God. Amen. Look to the Lamb of God. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, him. John 1:4, in him was life. Believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you? In John chapter 1, verse 4, we read it again. Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And here John writing. There's interesting things about John, the apostle. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In John chapter 1, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, to we that are saved, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, in Jesus. What we get and what we've been given, how we've been saved, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is the Lord Jesus being given to us. Even given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son this morning? I have the Son. I've got life. Because see, if you got the Son, he's nothing but life. He is life. He is the only life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You don't have the Son, you have no hope of life. And you can discount it, ignore it, think it'll go away, but it's the truth. Without Jesus, you have and will not have any life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, This verse is interesting. And very much connected and apropos to this subject. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, that's the wrong verse. Second Timothy, I must speak with my typist. Second Timothy, be not thou, verse number 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But now is made manifest. Brother Stephen spoke of this in his Sunday school lesson. In Jesus, it's been revealed. In what Jesus came and did, it's been revealed. It's been manifest. It's been shown. The climax of the good news, the gospel of God, is in what Jesus has done. That's the answer. He's the all in all. He's the end all. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, right? Has Jesus defeated death? Yeah. With Jesus, is Jesus going to die again? Never. How many times are we going to die that are saved? Once. How many times can you die? Twice, physically and spiritually. But we that are saved are only going to die once, because Jesus has abolished spiritual death for us. Because what's it say? In him was life. And listen to this. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, seeing by virtue of repentance and faith and the acknowledgement of the gospel and the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he is the holder of life, that he can forgive sins, that he can rescue us from the condemnation of hell and the lake of fire, that he, where we were dead, he can make us alive by the manifestation and the giving of the Spirit of God, him, Jesus, living within the sinner. That life and the receiving, the believing, the trusting, the visitation of the Lord in giving us that life, does not the light shine? In Jesus, everything is answered, isn't it? You see that? The light shines. We go from being in darkness, living to self, can do nothing but sin, don't know that there's a Savior, don't know there's a need for a Savior, can't reckon between evil and good, to being saved, to be given life. The light shines, doesn't it? Hey, you see that? You see that? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life, his ability to save, illuminates us and makes us alive and makes us to see the truth. And where we were blind, now we can see. Amen? In 2 Timothy 1:10, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality, there's the life, to light, hear that, through the gospel. It's all in Jesus. It's all in him. It's all in having him. It's all in receiving him and believing in him and him coming and living within. Have you been born again? Thou must be born again. You must be born again. And having been given life, and see that life in this world and life in the world to come is all in Christ. And to know that and to have that and have the Son, we have life. And having that life, we are in the light. Are you in the light? Are you walking in the daytime of the Lord, if you will, right? Or are you yet in darkness? But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. In him was life, and that life, and the life, was the light of men. It's the only way you can see and know what's going to go on from here on out is through Jesus Christ. With self and with the world and with the ages to come, the only way that there can be illumination is through Jesus Christ, who has life. He could raise the little 12-year-old girl from the dead, couldn't he? He could raise the young man who had been dead longer from the dead, right? He could raise Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, to life. And he, being life, was able to raise himself from the dead, even though he was dead, because he is life. The life is in him. We'll close with Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Look at this and consider this in light of this passage. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God that made the world. This is Paul on Mars Hill preaching to those who were there at Athens about the statue or the monument that they had to the unknown God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? He's created all things. He was at the beginning, right? Like John said. And hath made of one blood all nations for men of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The Lord's ordered it all, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You know, that's the reason that you don't need to wait on the invitation song, as it's called, at the end of a service to be saved. The Lord's right there. Hear him and believe him and trust him in what he says. Don't quarrel with God. Don't buck against God. Don't wrest the scriptures to your own destruction, but receive it and believe it. He's life. You're death, and you need life. You that are here not saved. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He created us. For as much then as we are not the offspring of God, we ought to not think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art or any man's device. Is that the way we look? Do we look like that? We look like a statue? Are we made out of rock? Are we made out of gold and silver? God's not going to be like that if he's created us. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, his eye is quivering at it, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men. He's given assurance that he's going to judge in that he raised him from the dead. Brother Jim, you've been saying that Jesus took back his life. Well, he said as much. But whether it says here that God hath raised him from the dead, yeah, that's the point. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. And the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one. And if you're talking about one, you're talking about the other. The Lord breaks it out for us like this that we might understand the great operation of God. But God's one God. And he is light. And he is life. And that life is our light. Whereof he hath given assurance to all in that he hath raised him from the dead. And of course, there was a reaction to that. What will be your reaction this morning to the gospel? In him was life, and the life was the light of men.